I think Barry's here, too.
Yeah, Barry, could you come up to the table?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, the RAP met last week, actually, right here in the hotel, and discussed the information for cod and haddock for Gulf of Maine and what to do for next season. I think one thing to keep in mind here, the RAP was very concerned, and there's been a lot of talk, I would say, that people want some type of payback or retribution or something. At the time the measures went in place for 2013, the probability was at 80% that the recreational catch would be below what it was going to be coming in of what they projected. So there was no attempt to try and go around the regulations or anything. I've got a couple other comments I'll make, but I'll wait for Jamie to give of her report, and then I think there'll be a couple of motions.
Jamie.
All right. Thank you. Good morning. I'll jump right into it. So we received a letter dated January 17th earlier this year that looking at fishing year 2013 rec catch estimates for Gulf of Maine cod and haddock from May 1 to October 2013, that in both cases the sub-ACL was projected to be exceeded. And so this then, the request was to have the RAP convene to discuss potential accountability measures for 2014, and that's why you're here today, to review that work and also to discuss what additional measures you may want to look at. So last week we met in this room. The RAP convened to discuss both the Gulf of Maine cod and haddock issues as well as habitat, and you'll see those motions under groundfish, those are going to be document number 2. Specific to that discussion, after quite a lengthy discussion about potential measures and what could be done, this led to a motion that was almost unanimous to recommend to the committee or council that Gulf of Maine cod for 2014 fishing year, that you close March and April for haddock, and then to adopt a minimum size of up to 22 inches for cod and up to 22 inches for haddock. And I'll walk through how we got there in the next set of slides. There was also quite a lengthy discussion about the RAP having serious concerns with the MREP data, both the data itself, but in particular the private angler data on recreational cod and haddock. And that's the data on effort that they were very concerned about and how that then matriculated up to the catch. If you're looking for what the RAP was concerned about, you also have a document, document 1B, and it's table 4 that the RAP was spent a lot of time discussing. In addition, the RAP received a presentation from the service that explained that there were some non-compliance issues for fishing year 2013 regarding minimum sizes. And the concern there was actually greater for haddock than cod of non-compliance with the change in minimum size. So what was presented at the RAP was a series of different possible combinations for accountability measures, and then the model was run to see what the outcome could be for 2014, what the projected catch would be. So what you want to look at in this table is the median value, so that's the 50% probability of success for cod and haddock of achieving that sub-ACL that you see at the top, and I've highlighted those for both cod and haddock. So let me walk you through the things the RAP saw last week. Number 1 was status quo. So if you made no changes, had a cod bag limit of 9, no change to the haddock bag limit, and cod and haddock minimum sizes remain the same, this is what the model was projecting that you'd have for both cod mortality and haddock mortality. And in both cases, at the median level, those are above the those are projected to be above the sub-ACL. In the second scenario, which is labeled number 1, the bag limits remain the same, but cod would minimum size would increase by 1 inch. And then you see also in that scenario that the projections indicate that mortality would be above both the sub-ACLs for 2014. In the one marked two, bag limits would remain the same, but both but there would be an additional change in COD minimum size of 2 inches, where haddock minimum size would remain the same, and that doesn't also get to the sub-ACLs. In the next scenario, this would have wave two closed. So wave two is March and April. So March and April would be closed. And then haddock and cod minimum sizes, cod would increase and haddock would remain the same. That also does not get you there. In the last one, both haddock and cod minimum sizes would increase. And again, that does not get to, projected to get to the sub-ECL. So this was the information the RAP was presented with, and after having quite a lengthy discussion about what this means, the RAP then requested that the service did an additional run, and actually the combination of what this involved was something even more restrictive than what you see here. So what they suggested was that you look at both a wave two closure for haddock and you look at changing the minimum size, and what would that combination result in? And so now, what I'm going to show you after this slide is everything that has been done by the service since the RAP meeting. So the RAP did not see the results, and these are being presented to you today. So what you have in front of you now is those five runs that you saw previously, including status quo. And starting with number six, that's actually the RAP recommendation of a wave two closure for haddock and then having the two changes in minimum sizes. That also doesn't get you to the projection for the sub-ACL for 2014. There was some additional work that was done after looking at the RAP recommendation, and instead of doing a wave two closure for haddock, the scientists looked at wave five closure for haddock, and this was both a closure for haddock but also changing the minimum size for cod and haddock. And that got closer for haddock and not quite there for cod. And it was the last option that was run where bag limits remain the same and cod size limit would be increased, minimum size would be increased to 23 and haddock at 22, that there was a projection that would be under the sub-ACL for Gulf of Maine haddock but still be above for the median column for Gulf of Maine haddock. Also at the meeting, we discussed that there's an upcoming Gulf of Maine haddock benchmark, which will be later this year in July, and the RAP was given information on how they could keep track of that process. So the purpose today is two questions. One, do you wish to forward the RAP recommendation to the service? And second, do you wish to suggest that the service looks at different scenarios in their analysis? And if so, what might those be? That's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions for Jamie from the council? Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the presentation, Jamie. Since none of the haddock medians under the different alternatives was under the sub-ACL, why wasn't a bag limit for haddock considered?
The RAP discussed this and discussed this with the service, and the response was that the bag limit would have to be very low to achieve this. We haven't seen the run with the bag limit, but certainly you could recommend that they do that kind of run.
Vincent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jamie, in slide three of the motion, they wanted the wave two closure March and April. How many trips is that roughly annually?
It's going to take me a minute to pull that up.
No problem. You can get back to me later. Doesn't matter. Thank you.
Doug.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Jamie, for that presentation. One of the things that strikes me here is there's been a lot of work done here, a lot of runs done here. But with the exception of one run that was just recently done, none of these meet what the ACL target is. And I'm wondering why we're going through all these runs that don't even, you haven't presented anything to the RAP and to us, except for one exception, that actually tells us what we need to do to get at this. I'm puzzled as to, I can understand if we had sort of some examples here, but, you know, as I see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 runs in one. Why do we do all these incremental things that say, well, we're close, but we're not there? We're not, any reason that didn't come up?
I mean, it did come up at the RAB meeting. We actually started, sorry, it's not working right now. Right. So when we were at the RAB meeting, I think there was some understanding that maybe having that combination of the wave closure and the minimum size changes would get us there. But the results did not show that. I think ideally the RAP would have preferred to have two discussions about this, one where they talked about the kinds of scenarios that they like to see, and a second where they'd have a suite of results. You know, given that we had this meeting last week and they were doing their best to look at what the past discussion had been about what the RAP would be willing to consider, you know, certainly looking at season changes has been something that's been different than what was considered in the past. I think the RAP has suggested minimum size changes. So I think in the future it would be preferable to have a lot more interaction on this. But certainly not having an option that gets to both sub-ACLs is problematic, and that's what we're looking for suggestions today, if there's something that the council would like the service, suggest to the service to look at.
Laura.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you for the presentation. I just had a question. When I see the minimum size limit in the motion at 22, when we as a council just reduce the minimum size, recognizing that there's a huge year class sort of pulsing through the system at smaller sizes, if we're going to use this as an accountability measure, aren't we encouraging then the likelihood of a tremendous amount of discards so that we're throwing a lot of smaller sized fish back in that are compromised and stressed from being caught and then put back into the ocean? So I wondered about the sensibility of doing that, knowing that there are a lot of small fish in the ocean. Thank you.
I can't speak directly to that concern, but I can tell you that, you know, under this option number 8, there has been some discussion that there would be a lot of discards if you had a 23-inch cod and a 22-inch haddock. That might be a better question directed at Barry since he's on the water. But I think that what I've been hearing is that might turn a lot of catch into discards.
David Pierce.
Yeah, Jamie, you mentioned that these runs were from the model that was developed by the Northeast Fisheries Science Center, I believe, last year or the year before, and I think that the model was used for the first time last year, I think. My question is, do you know, maybe somebody from the center can comment, do you know how successful, how good the projections have been regarding the outcome, catches of cod and haddock? In other words, to what extent should we rely on these projections based on that model? Are they squishy? Has the model been successfully run so far?
I can comment on that, but I will be reiterating what was presented by the service at the RAP meeting. So the model for last year did not perform well. It underestimated both cod and haddock mortality. And there were a number of factors that the RAP discussed with the service, and this included how the MREP data was included, some of the non-compliance issues, and then the use of biological projections. All of those factors have actually been taken into account in this version of the model that was used to run forward projections for 2014. So Scott Steinbeck walked through a number of different changes that had been made to the model to try to account for these differences in fishing year 2013 projections and what catches were coming in as. So relative to performance from the previous year, it did underestimate both cod and haddock mortality.
Okay. You just mentioned noncompliance, that the noncompliance issue was discussed at the RAP meeting. So was there noncompliance to what extent? And this model run that you're showing us now, that actually somehow factors in the degree of noncompliance?
Yes, it does. So when we the report that we received, the minimum size noncompliance, looking at Gulf of Maine cod based on the data that was available, that was 11.73% noncompliance rate. But the issue is actually for the larger issue is for Gulf of Maine cod, where the noncompliance with minimum size was 33.3%. For haddock, Gulf of Maine haddock. Thank you. So yes, these noncompliance issues were factored into the updated model that was used to run the scenarios that you see before you.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on Laura's comments relative to haddock, and I'm looking at your slide, Jamie, on page 6, which shows the 8 different runs, and at the top it shows cod mortality and haddock mortality. Now, is this total mortality that's estimated for the fishery? And I think I know the answer to this. Or are these numbers relative to the sub-ACL? Because my understanding is discards are not included for haddock, so this would be actual kept catch mortality. Is that the correct interpretation of that?
Is this the slide you're referring to?
Yep.
So what you see at the top is actually what the sub-ACL would be for the coming fishing year. That's the top box, and then the bottom is the model runs. So it's saying, given the conditions and the updates to the model, and given these different scenarios, what would projected cod mortality be for both cod and haddock mortality be under these different scenarios? And then you'd want to compare those different runs that I've highlighted to the sub-ACL above.
Thank you. The numbers in the runs do not include estimated discards. Is that correct?
The numbers in the runs assume that the way that fishing operated the year before is the same. So it would actually include whatever discards are taken into account to count towards the ACL. And there's different ways that it's done for both haddock and cod.
I guess it just raises the question, and I don't know, maybe Barry can speak to it. I wondered if the RAP had a discussion about creating a bag limit for a haddock and instead of increasing the size limit, which increases discards, but actually lowering it, if that might get you closer to where you want to go.
Thank you, Mary Beth. Yes, we did talk a little bit about that. However, as Jamie said, we were informed that a bag limit would be so low it really wouldn't it really almost couldn't do anything, because the average the average catch on at least on the party charter boat sector from the VTRs is only one or two haddock per person on average, to a lot of trips the guys looked at their VTRs was only two haddock for the whole trip, one or two, three haddock for the whole trip. There were not a lot of trips where a lot of haddock were caught. Therefore, if you reduce the bag limit down, but to answer your question, we didn't specifically discuss a bag limit with a lower minimum size, which I'm not sure that I mean, I don't think lowering the minimum size would have actually. I don't think it matters really what the minimum size is. If you go to a bag limit, it's going to be very low. However, where I think you're going on this is, if we all know that there's haddock mortality, release mortality in the recreational sector, I think that it's very clear. The idea that there's no release mortality, it's just a mathematical thing. If we were to go with a smaller size haddock, as we did in 2012, and allowed people to keep one or two or three or whatever the number is haddock, it would probably be and stop fishing, or I don't know how you enforce it, but philosophically, yeah. If you had a a bag limit of smaller fish and you kept the small fish and you stopped fishing on them, it would be a huge boon to the, you know, huge advantage to the resource. It would be a great conservation benefit. But we didn't really discuss it because I don't know how you really get there, but I think that's where you were heading on this, and I totally agree. I just don't know whether it can work.
Yeah, I'm pretty much all set. I just would have concerns about us recommending increasing the minimum fish size for haddock, given the year class and you know, the result of increasing discards, and that really is my overall concern.
Terry.
Barry, can you I know there was some discussion about the haddock assessment coming up. Is that 108-ton number, I think I just saw 108, is that where that came from? You were hoping that that the allocation would go up and that number would be more in line with the, or maybe Jamie?
So there was some discussion. So that last run, number 8 on there, 6, 7, and 8 were things the RAP didn't see. They were after the RAP meeting. But there was quite a lengthy discussion about when would you want to have a closure and would you want to have it basically next spring in the calendar year. And there was a discussion about the timing of the assessment and whether that was going to factor into it. But I think overall, you know, there wasn't necessarily a specific measure that was linked directly to what the changes could be or may be in the assessment. So we don't know that yet. But there was discussion about it at the RAP meeting.
Mark.
Thank you. Jamie, I'm puzzling about something in the table on page 6. Seems kind of counterintuitive, but maybe it's just my interpretation of this. For option 5, that's a wave 2 closure for both cod and haddock, correct?
No, option number 4. Sorry, so there was...
So 5. Are
you looking at this one or this one?
The line with 5 in parentheses.
Number 5, there wouldn't be a wave closure. It would. The bag limits remain the same, but the cod and the haddock minimum sizes would increase.
Okay. Okay, all right. That explains it then.
Frank.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. There was a couple of questions presented in the beginning, and before we get into recommendations, I think the first question was whether we forward the RAP recommendations to the service. And I really don't think we have an option. I mean, the RAP did their work. They were presented at the time, and I think those have to be presented. I mean, the service is here now, so they've seen them, but I don't think we can say that we're not going to forward them. So I would recommend that we do that, and whether or not that needs a motion or not, I'll leave that up to you. And the other one was, you know, on the concern with the numbers. And a couple of things that were presented here, I don't know if I'm looking on the catch tables, and they are correct what we've heard, that the average haddock kept per trip is 0.7. So PK just joked to me here, says, well, we'll have to cut the tail off the fish when they land them. So that's why the bag limit option really wasn't suggested to do it for the mortality control, to reduce the catch. A couple other things that changed. When the size limit went up on the haddock last year, the average size of a fish landed went up by 30%. So when you're calculating your numbers, I mean, last year there were actually quite a few haddock less caught than the year before. But tonnage-wise, it was about a 20% increase on the amount of weight. So fewer fish landed, but a 20% increase on weight. So that was a couple of things that worked against probably the calculations. And one of the things that we were told, that there were probably more fish in that size limit than what the model had thought. And I don't think there's anybody that would question the fact that most people believe there's probably more haddock there. The other thing is, too, when you look at haddock released, where the second statement from the RAP was, you know, questioning the data. From 2 years ago to last year, the number of haddock released went from 38,000 to over 500,000 fish. So there seems to be something there that's a little bit askew. And most of them question or not, you know, the number of trips. But on the compliance issue, keep in mind that a lot of the states, I can't say a lot, some of the states didn't have measures in place at the beginning of the fishing year. So the fact that there were fish that were out of compliance doesn't mean that people were fishing illegally. They were may have been abiding by state law, but not by the federal law at the time. Because I don't think, and those were observed, Jamie can correct me if I'm wrong, but those were observed catches to come up with the compliance. So I don't think a lot of people said it's okay to check my catch when they opened their cooler and they thought it was a bunch of illegal fish. The problem got worse after the states came in and put the measures in place. I've heard it was as much as a 45% noncompliance on the private rec side to what took place. So had compliance been there and enforcement, and I think it's probably notification changing regulations in the middle of the year, you've got a 30 to 40% swing on the number of fish that were landed that the model didn't take into account. And then the fact that the size of the fish increased by almost a third on the weight. So two things worked against the model there. So keep that in mind if we do recommend something. But I would suggest that we do forward the two recommendations from the RAP because I think that's the foundation of where we would go with anything that we do. Thank you.
Okay, before we address the recommendations, Ellen's hand was up.
I think it's more with the recommendations that I have my comment. I am very concerned about the discards and the number of discards with closing the fishery to haddock and not cod. So those runs, I think, they're not going to be anything that would be acceptable to me, and I really would like to discuss the RAP's recommendation. I have no problem with forwarding it to the service, but I think we need to put our recommendation along with it and decide whether we agree with it or not. Thank you.
So are you prepared to make a recommendation? John.
So as people have noted, there are a couple of unknowns here. One, we don't have anything that does the job, so it's hard to make a recommendation to us. It's hard for the council to make a recommendation to us of something that does the job. And that puts the council in a difficult position. Two, we don't have a stock assessment, and we'll have one.
When did you say, Mike, in May or so?
June.
No,
it's in July.
July.
It's in July. We won't get the results until mid-August.
Right. So so we get the results in time to consider wave two, but not wave five if a closure were to be one of the elements that you might put in there to bring it to add something that does the job. So the answer to that second question, recommendations, yeah, they're very welcome. So I think I'm certainly saying that if you have recommendations of other things that you think are preferable that get us in the haddock side that does the job, or if you think a 4-inch increase in cod is, Barry hasn't said anything on that, is not the best way to do the job on cod. What is the best way to do the job on cod? Because you're not showing a closure as a way to do that. You know, tell us what you what you want. We have to make a decision on this, and there's a lot of unknowns.
David?
Yeah, closures always are the best way to keep catch down. Minimum size limits have their pros and cons, and oftentimes a lot of cons because of discarding. I've got a question, then I may have a suggestion. In this table, the one that's on the screen right now, number 6 says wave 2 closure, haddock. Number 4 says wave 2 closure, cod and haddock. Was any option considered there would be a kind of a blend where it would be wave 6, number 6 would be a new option, wave 2 closure for haddock and cod with a 1-inch increase in the minimum size for both? I don't see a cod closure in wave 2. Was that considered to be just untenable by the RAP, or is that an option that we might actually want to consider?
Jamie and Barry?
We didn't talk about that specific run, but with number 4, you have a wave 2 closure for cod and haddock and also an increase in minimum size. So you might want to think about wave 5 closure. Is it something you want to look at for haddock and cod? As you can see in that number 7, that gets you further than the previous one.
Yeah, if I may, that getting further, these numbers are all squishy as far as I'm concerned. And this is all a model run, and it's based on MRIP information that is all we have to use, but it's still not solid. It's soft information. And I continue to be very concerned here at this council, and certainly at ASMSC, when we constantly use this information to set quotas and make very important management measures affecting an industry with information that's based on surveys. So I look at this wave 2 closure of haddock and cod with the increase in the minimum size up to 22 inches, and it would seem to me that by including cod in that wave 2 closure, we actually begin to close the gap from 524 as the median on cod mortality down closer to the 486, which is the sub-ACL. And we close the gap maybe a little bit more on Gulf of Maine haddock from 133 down to the 80, which is the ACL. So I would suggest, I'll make a motion, acknowledging that the analysis is not before us. This is something that the service could do. I would move that the service consider recreational management measures for fishing year 2014. For haddock, it would be wave 2 closure for haddock and cod with a 9-fish bag for cod, no bag for haddock, and 22 inches as a minimum size for cod and haddock. That's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, let's let Karen get up on the board. Is that your motion?
Yes, that would be it as a recommendation to the service as to how it should proceed.
Is there a second? Second by Doug Grout. Jamie?
Just for those who are not familiar with the wave use, that's March and April.
Okay, going to go out to the audience. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick Paquette, member of the Recreational Advisor, definitely not speaking for the RAP right now. I just wanted to offer a couple of comments on your discussion. One is regarding the prediction model that it's pretty much given you almost all the numbers in this. I attended the peer review of this model originally, and just a month ago, NOAA invited me down to present on this model and the use of this model in this fishery that we're talking about today. They respected my opinions on the model and my experience with the model enough. So I'm just going to give you that as I give you a couple of pieces about this model. The model was built, the model as presented to us a year ago had a run or had a test run that predicted 2012 correctly, right? So that was like the final test of this developing model. predicted 2012. We were told, and I'm going to disagree with Frank, I think it was 74% likelihood that we would not make 50% of our cataract ACL, sub-ACL, was what we were given a year ago. I checked it this morning. And then it did, the model performed, as you see here, 200-and-something percent of our sub-ACL. So they repaired it. So I asked a pretty simple question at this last RAP meeting. I asked the people from the Scott from the Science Center, I said, after you repaired it so that it would have predicted 2013 right, did you go back and run it looking at 2012 to see what this new version would have done the year before? Because the version that the version that misfired didn't. And the answer was no. So my pretty blue-collar analysis of this is that we have a very different model now being used than the model that was used ahead of time. So we have a model that hasn't performed once accurately in the 2 years it was given. And it's different from both years. Just something to think about, because these numbers are, I think, a lot more squishy than people even realize. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the numbers that we questioned, that the RAP questioned about this the private recreational catch effort numbers, the number of trips being orders of magnitude over the four hire fleet in the month of April is a little bit bizarre for a lot of us, and we just think it's wrong. Once again, this is an MRIP data collection system that went online partially through the prior year, hasn't been used more than 2 years in a row, and there's a lot of ASMFC commissioner, state directors around the table. You might remember I was on the phone with Mike Bucko, who's the chair of the ACCSP advisory panel down at ASMFC, and they're going to take a big swing at the effort, at the way that effort is worked on in MRIP again this year, because they don't like what it's producing. So the effort numbers that haven't been done 2 years in a row are the MRIP effort collection package that resulted in this effort number that none of us believe, and that we did enough that we had a consensus statement, and this RAP is difficult to get a consensus statement on, is now getting swung at again by the Science Center, because it's just not, nobody's really believing
it. Patrick, can you speak to the motion?
Okay, so basically you're basing this on numbers nobody believes, including the Science Center, and that's when you really look at it. As far as the motion, this motion closes Gloucester in April. This motion closes businesses without a, I don't know how you do this without it actually going to public comment, without it rising into NEPA. However, we still haven't been asked our opinion of something that works. There were 20 questions. The RAP's recommendation to you was more conservative than what was presented. I don't think this gets us there either, the way that this is based on it. With the average catch of haddock, I don't think this gets us there either. There's no bag limit that worked. We've got 2 years of models, and there's a whole bunch of common sense alternatives you would want analyzed. It hasn't been given to us at all, and I get it. This is going to leave the council. But NIMS, I don't know how this I don't believe has been analyzed. I do not believe this is going to get us to the number. And if you look at the smoothing, that the way that our AM works, please understand something, that AM is going to drastically change by 50% next year. And that's why we went more conservative. So right now, this whole discussion is blind. And there is a point, I think, when mature adults have to say, hold on, you need to just go get us some information. Because even this guess there's zero charge for discards, there's going to be a discard mortality come out of this haddock assessment. We're not going to get zero again. So we're going to have numbers going in both directions again. We just don't have the appropriate analysis to make the decision. I think it's sort of dangerous to recommend anything to NIMS at this point in time. And that's my comment to the council, is like, the statement might be we need to get some real analysis here. And I know that the fleet's up and down the coast, because the main fleet is affected by this much different than the southeastern Massachusetts fleet is as well. So this, once again, you're not even going to have expert opinions coming out of recreational people that, and there's going to be no economic impact analysis or even consideration given to this. So it's really dangerous. I don't have a recommendation for you. I know that I haven't seen what the right closures in the white right in the correct waves are going to do, packaged with the minimum sizes. And the last comment I'll give you is I absolutely agree that we're starting to raise the minimum sizes above what is realistic for anybody to catch right now based on what we're interacting with. So this is all blind. This is as lack of any kind of confidence science, and it's, I don't know what the answer is, but the answer is not to send a recommendation. The answer is to demand more analysis. Thank you.
Does anybody else in the audience wish to speak to the motion? Sir.
Good morning. My name is Mike Pierdenak. I'm a charter boat captain out of Green Harbor, and I'm on the board of directors of the Stellwagen Bank Charter Boat Association. I do have one question that with the noncompliance issue, if you backed out the numbers, assuming that through good enforcement and education of the public that we would not have that this year, where would we stand with the statistical numbers for the past 2 years, and would that get us closer?
I mean, I don't have the exact figures, but, I mean, if you have somewhere between 30 and 40% that were undersized that were caught and they weren't caught in the following year, you've got to reduce here by, 60%, and 40% of your catch is under. I'm not doing the model of the scientist, but to me it sounds like you get a long way there, or pretty a lot closer.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience? Jamie?
Just to that point, Scott did do a model run at the meeting for looking back at 2012, what would have done if would this exact discussion, and that change was used in the model, and it did get closer to the numbers for 2012, but it didn't quite get there.
Okay, back to the council. Tom?
Just briefly, it might be worth revisiting next steps. The regional administrator was given the authority to implement proactive recreational AMs in one of our past management actions, and this is part of the process. As part of the process, the Fisheries Service consults with the council. There's actually no requirement that they listen to us, but they are required to consult with us, and this is a consultation process. It's my understanding that if they do make a change, it will be supported by an environmental assessment, which would do the economic analysis that I think Patrick was talking about. And it would also probably be published as a proposed rule, which would give the public the opportunity to comment.
Ellen.
I'm not sure that I completely support this motion. I wanted to put in the record that the charter boat fishermen in New Hampshire are in favor of a bag limit and a wave five, I believe it's wave five closure, September and October closure. And I think that my problem with this is increasing discards. We're playing with numbers, and what we have coming up is, it looks like we have a large juvenile year class of haddock coming up. If we just increase the size limit, we're turning all of those young of the year into discards, and haddock do not survive the way some cod do. So I have a real problem with increasing the size limit. I do think we need to discuss a bag limit, and I know that in Alaska, when they have a bag limit, they take their fishing pole away when you reach your bag limit. And I think that's not something that we want to do, but I think that it's something that we have to discuss. And it's really important that we get a handle on what is going on and that the numbers are correct. Thank you.
Doug.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I seconded this motion because it was a motion that was fairly close to what the RAP had recommended. And so I thought that we should try and at least have this type of measures analyzed. But I agree. I think we're at a point where I understand that the RAP has been reluctant to change size limits, impose bag limits, but I think we're at ACLs that are so low that I think we need to start considering these things at least as a follow-up option. And after we vote on this, I'm prepared to make another motion for a second alternative that might consider bag limits as well as seasons. So,
John. Well, I think if the average number of haddock caught was, what, 0.7? I'm not sure. What's the bag limit, 0.5? How you achieve a reduction with a bag limit when the average number of fish caught is 0.7? But.
Frank.
Yes, thank you. Like as David said, this is something to move forward, which we don't have the analysis from, but I'll support the motion, but I think there's going to be another motion coming forward, because this is just a recommendation to the service. Something to keep in mind, the Gulf of Maine cod used to be at 24 inches. It went down to 19. Codfish has been up and down all over the place. And I think there's probably more agreement with changing the codfish there. We seem to have a better handle on what the discard mortality is. And the other thing is, we're going forward with the recommendation to the service without knowing what the closures are here, and I know this would be a severe impact. What you're losing here is 2 weeks in April, because it already is closed for codfish and everything else is closed. I mean, the haddock isn't. But from talking to some of the industry, I think they would probably rather, I don't want to speak for them now because they're here if they want to speak, they might want to see a little spread out with something in the fall as well. So it's not all taken off the springs. I think the spring is probably more important to them. It may be a longer closure in the fall to make, you know, do the same good, but I think it would be more palatable.
Yep. Ellen.
I think that a bag limit without a change in the, a decrease in the size limit, I agree with John, it would not have any impact, but I do believe that a bag limit on haddock with a decrease in the size would turn discards into kept fish. And I am adamantly opposed to turning, to increasing any kind of discards. So I think that if you are discussing a bag limit, you have to have realistic size limit also. Thank you.
The further council comments to the motion on the board? Seeing none, those who support the motion on the board, please indicate so. Those opposed? And those abstaining? The motion carries 11-3-2. Doug.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make a motion that we would consider option 7. With a change that the size limit on both cod and haddock would be at 21 instead of 22, and that we would be looking at for some analysis that would tell us what kind of a bag limit would be needed to attain the ACLs. Oh, and one other thing. This would be option 7 with a wave 5 closure for both cod and haddock with a 21-inch size limit and a corresponding bag limit that would attain the sub-ACLs.
Yes.
So that motion, right?
Yeah, that's a motion.
Is there a second? Second by Ellen.
Could I speak to that,
yes,
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I think we've got to get to the point right now where we've got to at least look at and consider bag limits. Now, I know the regional administrator has some concerns about that because of the 0.7 average fish, but keep in mind that when they're averaging fish, this is not just trips that are targeting groundfish. They're trips that are targeting bluefish, cod, haddock, stripers, and that's why it's so low. A bag limit will, there are catches of cod and haddock that are higher than one or two fish. There are a lot of these occurrences. And what we need to do is start looking at these things. I think continuing to go up in size is only encouraging discarding of fish. And I admit having seasons also encourages discarding fish unless we keep recreational fishermen and party boat and charter boat fishermen off the water. But I also know people who are both party boat and charter boat fishermen as well as recreational fishermen, if they have a closed season, they can target other species. There's pollock out there in wave 5 in fair numbers. There's stripers, there's bluefish. And so I think we will see a little bit less of the discarding occurring if we try and take a look at some option like this. And while I have the mic, I think the other thing that we need to do here as a council and is to start looking at a different paradigm for how we manage, how we implement some of these recreational measures. Implementing recreational measures mid-season is not the way to do business. You can send out notices to your party charter licenses, but you're not sending out any information to all the recreational anglers. Little old New Hampshire has 40,000 of those. That exceeds the entire commercial licensed population of Maine and New Hampshire combined by a large amount. What we need to do is get back to what we were dealing with Amendment 16, where we make these changes at the beginning of the year, the calendar year, and have that way the states can help get out these changes to the public, the general recreational fishing public, so that they know in advance. That way we will start reducing the number of undersized fish and overbag limit fish that are being taken right now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I hope we support this motion.
Okay, before I go to the council, I'm going to go out to the audience. Any comments? Jamie, you'll be after that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Charlie Wade, President of the Stellwagen Bank Charter Boat Association. And I would just echo some thoughts I heard that in Wave 2, keep in mind the only fish available to us are groundfish. It's haddock and it's cod, and that's it. We can't chase bluefish and stripers and tuna and shark. They're not here yet. So economically, consider that we've got 5.5 months of essential closure because of the seasonal cod closure. We've got a tremendous amount of pent-up demand by the time mid-April rolls around. Some of the guys with bigger boats do start fishing on haddock a little earlier so they can start throwing off some money. Wave 5 has some appeal to the charter boat crew because we do have other things we can pursue at that time of year. So I would, you know, just leave you with that thought that Wave 5 gives us some economic flexibility in the trips we run. Thank you.
Sir, in blue.
Yes, my name is Thomas Arl from the Yankee Fishing Fleet in Gloucester, Mass. I've been listening to a lot of this input on different options, and I just want to make the point that if we do increase the size limit, not only does it impact the discards, but if you have a large length of fish, you're going to drastically increase the non-compliance too. People are going to keep a lot of those smaller fish. And I also agree on Wave 5 closure. Thank you.
Other comments from the audience? I can't see your face. Yep. In the back.
Bill Wagner, charter boat at Rye. Doug makes a lot of sense. He's from our state. Not that he's from our state, but he's making a lot of sense here. I back that amendment 100%. And size and limits, again, do not give us unlimited haddock. I think if you ran an ace, if you ran that model on unlimited and put it to a bag limit, you'd probably see a big difference. And it would be interesting to see what the model would do if it came up and said no change. I imagine it'd be a change. But do not, the council, do not give us unlimited haddock. Thank you.
Mike, or Carl, I guess. Sorry, couldn't see who's who.
Yes, Carl Bouchard. I just want to say that all of these options seem to turn landings into discards, which is 180 degrees out of phase of what we should be doing. What you really should be concentrating on is removing the fishing effort from the hot spots, in this case, is the Jeffries year-round closure. The party charter would still have their full seasons. You don't increase the sizes to create more discards. The crux of the problem is where the people are fishing. You know, the commercial fleet has been kept out of this area now for 12, 15 years. It was supposedly a three-year closure with a sunset. And if you want to get to the base of the problem, have the guts to close this area to party charter. That's your problem. Don't turn landings into discards. And they should have the same rate of observer coverage as the commercial fleet has. Thank you.
Dave.
Good morning, Dave Waldrop, Charter Boat Relentless, Green Harbor. I also support, instead of a wave two, a wave five at the end of the season, you know, because like Charlie said earlier, all we have is in the spring is the cod and haddock. We don't have those other species. We also got several guys in the industry. This is an industry just like the commercial industry who are out now marketing their trips. They've been at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for 10 days doing the sport shows, Edison, New Jersey, Springfield, Worcester, wherever there's a sport show, spending tens of thousands of dollars booking trips. A lot of these book trips are already booked for April. You know, they're booked for April. They're booked for early May. And that's when people want to come up here. A lot of our customer base are fishermen themselves with boats in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and different places. And this is when they come up here. They come up here before their species start to kick into effect, like fluke and striped bass down in the southern regions. And by changing things, you know, with a springtime wave there, that closure, I just think we're going to lose a lot of business, which we'll never get back. Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to speak to the motion on the board? Seeing none, Jamie.
So I just want to clarify that these AMs that everyone's looking at are for fishing year 2014, so they're not for the current fishing year that we're in. Second, I just wanted to make sure I understand the motion. So the option 7 is a wave 5 closure for haddock. And the change in the minimum size would bring the minimum size the same for cod and haddock. And then you'd want the service to look at what the appropriate bag limit might be for cod or haddock or some combination that would achieve those sub-ACLs. Is that correct?
Maybe I shouldn't have put in option 7 because I've changed it quite a bit.
Terry, you had your hand up earlier.
I think all the questions get answered from the public. So.
Tom and Ellen.
Just getting back to Tom Neese's point on the next steps, regardless of what we ask the service to consider, we've already provided advice, ranked priority advice as to how to handle just this question, you know, making these adjustments, bag limits, closures, minimum fish sizes. I mean, I don't think we need to spend too much time asking them about an infinite range of alternatives to consider at some elevated or priority status. We've already given them that authority. They will already do that regardless of what else we say or do here today or how many motions, including new options, we pass. So I just suggest, personally, I think this is better than the last one, but I don't think we have anything else to do here. Our role is to discuss this. We have, but we've already given them the authority to make this decision, and I think they'll get plenty of input from both the RAP and RAP members and industry, you know, charter boat guys and recreational guys. So I think we should move forward and get done with this.
Thank you for the nudge, but I got one more hand. Ellen.
I'll be quick. Doug, I thought that was for Wave 5 closure for both cod and haddock.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
Jamie just said for haddock.
Gulf of Maine, cod, both. And haddock, option 7, Wave 5 closure with the chain. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any further discussion to the motion on the board? Seeing none, those who support the motion on the board, please indicate so. And those abstaining? The motion carries 15-01. Is there any further business, Frank, on the wrap?
That's all I have.
Barry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank everybody I want to thank everybody for their time. Is it my understanding, following up on what Tom said, that the service will also look at other combinations and other options, perhaps Wave 5 or whatever? Is that my understanding, that this is not – these are not the only two things that are going to be looked at, but other things could be looked at?
John?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. I appreciate it. And I would just and I would hope that you would get in touch with staff and RAP members. We can do polls by email, not that they're official, but if you need any guidance as to what might work, we still want to stay within this process right to the very end to try to get the best suite of measures that we possibly can. And then the only thing, I'm just going to leave you with one example of the data problem that illustrates why the RAP is so concerned about going forward using the numbers that we have. And basically, I'll just give you this one example here. For the private boat sector, for Gulf of Maine haddock, okay, the total catch in 2011, all right, was about 71,000 fish, all right? That was in 2011. In 2012, it went to 183,000. So we've gone from 71 to 183,000, 2011, 2012. For 2013, okay, we went from, what was it, 18 to 21 inches in haddock, all right? And it jumped to almost 390,000 fish, individual fish. We went from 71,000, and 2 years later, we're up at 390,000. This is very concerning to us, and I would hope that some more attention would be paid to this data, and maybe get some of it straightened out before measures are put into place that affect the recreational sector. Thanks very much.
Terry.
Yeah, to Barry's point, I mean, I think that's right in line with what we're seeing on the water. An increase. I mean, our discards have increased 15-fold in the commercial fishery. So, 15-fold of, I mean, you're lucky. I think you're lucky that it's that low. So, I mean, I really think that that's probably a, it might not be the right number, but the trend is the same in the commercial fishery.
Okay. Let's continue this debate offline. Frank, you want to have any concluding remarks? And then we're
Concluding, we didn't really address, I'm assuming that the RAP recommendations will be forwarded to the service as well.
So let's take a 10-minute break and let Michelle set up. We're going to go right into Habitat. We were in December. We've received even more correspondence, and there continues to be a fundamental confusion of exactly where we are in the timeline in the development, or 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 in the timeline in the development.